Molly, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. It's so nice to see you again.
You too.
Oh, well, thanks so much for coming. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
It's
I
no
do.
problem. I'm excited to be back.
Yes, I know. You've joined us a few times before, haven't you?
Yeah.
For a few different episodes. We filmed season one's finale, episode 8 of season one with you and Liam. That was a great episode.
Yeah, that was so exciting.
Yeah, and then you've been back a couple of times since then too. It is great to have you back. Should we just carry on? We've kind of started recording
That's fine.
the episode. Thanks so much for joining us, listeners. My name's Jamie. I use he, him pronouns, and you're listening to the Proper Full On Gay Podcast, that show where we talk about Heartstopper with amazing guests like Molly from the UK and Ireland's leading queer youth organisations.
Hello, I'm really excited to be back. I'm Molly and I use she, her pronouns.
Oh, it's so nice to have you back. It's always great to have the Proud Trust on the show. You're a great organisation. For people who maybe haven't listened before, do you want to give us like a really quick intro to who the Proud Trust are and what you guys do to support queer young people?
Yeah, of course. So the Proud Trust is a life-changing LGBT plus youth organisation that supports LGBT plus young people and the adults in their lives. And we do that through a range of avenues, whether that's through youth groups, education and training, and Proud Connections live chat, which is our digital chat service that young people and the adults that support them can access and come and chat and ask questions to our youth workers.
Oh, very good. You've got like a really great mentoring program too, don't you?
So Proud Connections Mentors is a program where we'll pair an LGBT plus young person up with an LGBT plus adult who will then help them mentor them through different things. And sometimes it is LGBT plus things, whether that's they've also come out themselves or they've been through similar experiences, but also sometimes it's helping them apply for a bank account or looking over their
Yeah.
CV or like having those chats. So it's not just always specifically LGBT plus mentoring, it's helping them with
Yeah.
that kind of other life experience as well.
For
And we've had some
sure.
really lovely feedback from some of the young people who have been through the program and then have like wanted to then become a mentor themselves as they've grown to be able to like pass the support down the chain, which is really nice.
Oh, it is nice whenever it kind of turns into a cycle like that, isn't it? That they come back and they stay involved even after they kind of grow up a little bit and become those the people that support queer young people. And it is lovely. It's really nice. It is. It's really nice. This is our last episode in our Heartstopper recap. The great Heartstopper recap. I can't remember what we called it now. What was it? Oh, the proper full-on Heartstopper recap. We've
That was
done
it.
four episodes. This is the last one where we're going to talk about the Easter eggs that you should look out for in season two. But if you haven't listened to our recap episodes, we've got another three great episodes. Yellow is for Queerness, our favorite coming out moments. And I've totally forgotten. Oh, Moments Under Trees. The Moments Under Trees was really good. Go back and take a listen after you've listened to this episode, of course. We'd really appreciate it. You can also follow us on Instagram at the Proper Full On Gay Podcast. And feel free to look down at your phone right now and leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it, especially if you've listened to the show and you really like it. Today, our episode is all about our favorite Easter eggs, really. It's like quite indulgent. We're going to talk about like the best Easter eggs that we love and play some audio from the show and speculate a wee bit about season two. Should we get stuck in? Should we get
Yeah,
stuck in?
definitely.
Awesome. Well, the first one is based around the blue and yellow color play. It was throughout season one. I have a separate episode on it, Yellow is for Queerness, that I just mentioned, where I kind of go into a bit of depth about why I think yellow stands for like queerness and queer identities, and blue represents straightness or the heteronormative ideas that straightness often kind of accompanies. We cover it in a lot of depth, so we're not going to go into it too much, but let's play our first moment. We're going to go actually right to the end of season one, and this is one where the Yellow is for Queerness really kind of fell into place and kind of cemented itself. So let's play the audio and then we could chat about it.
I was thinking, what if I came out?
Do you really want to?
I really want to. I know I've been pretty unsure of everything for a while, but like, I'm definitely bisexual. And I don't want to have to sneak around pretending we're platonic BFFs. I'm not saying I want to have a public announcement or anything, but I want to tell the people who matter. And I want you to be able to tell people too. Oh my God, I like you so much. And I love liking you.
I like Charlie Spring in a romantic way, not just a friend way.
Oh, that whole scene is just a lovely way to start winding up season one and Nick's story arc, isn't it?
It's so cute. It's such a like lovely scene. I think it's one of my favorite moments of the whole show, that one.
Yeah, for sure. We get that really great like beach date montage where they're on the merry-go-round and they go to the photo booth and all that kind of stuff, and then it ends with them on the beach together. And Yellow Is for Queerness comes into play here because, firstly, as Lee pointed out back in our Yellow Is for Queerness episode, when Nick gets on the train, he isn't wearing his traditional blue, he's wearing purple. So part of this that Lee brought is that as Nick kind of learns about himself and learns about his bisexuality and starts to embrace it, the blues that he wears and that he's often seen around start to soften and lighten. And in this episode, it's actually a purple shirt that he's wearing, which is really nice. And then whenever they arrive in the little town that they're in, he's seen wearing a bright yellow t-shirt. Like he's fully embraced his queerness. He's understanding and accepting his bisexuality. And he's ready to take that step of coming out, which I think is just a really nice touch. So he's wearing his queerness now. The yellow is for queerness. It's actually a part of him. He's proud to wear it, and which I think is really lovely.
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice that you kind of see that kind of come through in his colours as well. And obviously they're at a beach, and a beach is kind of traditionally very yellow as well.
Yes,
the kind
that's
of
right.
Colours are around him. And I think it's nice that we see that through Nick, even down to like obviously the rugby shirts are blue, and rugby's that very traditional masculinity.
That's it.
And then we've got obviously the purple, and it also links to kind of the colours in the bisexual flag. Is you've got the blue represents masculinity, and then the purple representing that blend of the blue and the pink, and that kind of coming together of bisexuality, which I really like, is shown through the purple.
See
him embracing the yellow and the sunshine and his queerness as well.
Oh, it's just lovely. The first time that we see Nick in a purple jumper, I noticed actually whenever I was doing the show notes for the Moments Under Tree episode, is that scene where him and Charlie are in the park and they're lying beside the tree. Under his jacket, I think he's wearing a purple jumper. And again, there he's starting to talk about how he thinks that he's bisexual, and he's kind of been doing a bit of research and everything else. So yeah, it is lovely to see how they kind of start to integrate these colours as Nick becomes much more confident in who he is. But yeah, it's a lovely moment. He goes on to go home and come out to his mum, and then Nick and Charlie return into the comic books at the end of the episode, which is again a really, really lovely way to end season one. And then in a lot of the season two promos, we also see that Nick is still wearing those bright yellows, which is really nice too, that's already kind of come through into season two. So keep an eye out for Yellow Is for Queerness in season two.
See if there's any more yellow. I like that when it's Nick, obviously he's got this bright yellow on, and we see him say like, I'm definitely bisexual. Like,
yes.
There's no umming and ahhing about it. Obviously we see him shouting that he likes Charlie, explicitly stating kind of not in a platonic way, in a romantic way.
Yeah, I love
which
it.
I think is a kind of an experience for queer people, is that like, oh, are they just friends? Are they just gal pals? Are they just particularly with bisexuality? So I love that we get this, like, he's wearing yellow, he's got his queerness, he's definitely bisexual. There's no getting around of it could be perceived in any other way.
Oh, definitely. He's so certain. You know, he has a real certainty. It's great. It is so lovely to watch. Really great. I love it. I love it. If you want to know more about the Yellow Is for Queerness series, head back and listen to that episode. It is really good. I loved recording it with Lee from Car Friend, which is another incredible organization based in Belfast that supports queer young people in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. So yeah, go back and take a listen. It's definitely worth it. Definitely worth your time. The next moment is one of my favorites. It's Isaac. So we want to talk about Isaac's book list. Isaac Henderson, a really great character. One of my favorites. I really identify with Isaac. And yeah, just like all the characters, they're my favorite. Do you like Isaac?
I love Isaac. Isaac is fantastic. And I think what I really like is Isaac is kind of, he's a new character. But he's also very clearly kind of inspired by Alad from the comics as well, who obviously Alad goes on to have his own story, which is why they kind of created Isaac instead. And I think, like, just as a bookworm, there is something that is so relatable, particularly whenever there's like big drama going on, or like Tao and Charlie are fighting or whatever. Isaac's like, me and my book are not getting involved. Like, if you need us, we'll be here reading.
It's so good.
And I love the attention to detail about how, like, the books match up to the different moments.
That's right.
But there's a really nice moment where you can hear Isaac talking about Radio Silence, which is Alad's story.
Really?
When they're bowling, that's the story that, like, he's telling Nick about. And you can hear, like, bits of the conversation of that he's telling him about Alad's story, which is
obviously
the character that Isaac was inspired by, or that he's reading like Gareth Thomas's book when he's watching them play rugby.
That's and, right. Like,
I'm a huge Isaac fan, so definitely.
I'm definitely going to go and rewatch that scene in the bowling alley. I hadn't picked up that that was the conversation that they were
having. You hear it just before it cuts to kind of Tao and Charlie kind of having their like little drama.
Yes.
But you can just hear Nick, like, it's also really sweet because, like, you see Nick really showing interest in what Isaac's reading and, like, him really wanting to, like, show an interest in Charlie's friends.
Yeah.
But, yeah, keep a listen out for it, because it's just as they're bowling on Charlie's birthday, you can hear him talking about it.
Oh, I love that they threw in those little tiny details, even into, like, the background conversation. It's similar to when Charlie and Nick are on the sofa at Ben's part or Harry's party, just as the camera kind of approaches them, they're talking about Mario Kart. It's another Mario Kart moment. Nick's telling him about his childhood and playing Mario. I just love those little details that they even add into the little conversations that you can barely hear above the music or the background noise. But it's really good. Yeah, so Isaac is this big-hearted bookworm, as Molly said. Doesn't say very much during season one, but when he does, he is really lovely, very comforting, and very supportive of all the other friends in his circle. Let's take a listen to one of my favourite Isaac moments.
As your token straight friend, it's my duty to remind you that sometimes people are straight. It's an unfortunate fact of life.
But we don't know if she actually likes Nick back.
Isaac? I've already warned you about encouraging Charlie's crushes on straight boys.
But I want to believe in romance. Elle, so there's this girl at Higgs who apparently Nick's got a crush on?
Confirmed from multiple sources.
But we don't know if they're actually a thing. So can you talk to her? Because she's in your year at school.
Charlie literally won't give up on this straight boy until we know for sure.
Oh my God, be quiet. Okay, slowly. What do you want?
Do you know a girl called Tara Jones?
Just love that moment so much. It's really good. There are certain moments, like Isaac kind of blends into the background a bit, but sometimes he gets really animated and really lively. And that's one of those moments, like you can hear how animated he is in what he's saying. It's just a really lovely moment.
Yeah, it's so sweet. And I think what's really nice is that how each of the four friends kind of in the friend group have got their thing. You know, Elle's is her art, Tao's is kind of being this kind of quick wit, sharp sense of humor.
Yes.
And then Isaac's is his books and the things that he adds. And you can tell that they really value him as a friend, and they really value each other's friendship. But also how like accurate they are to the young people that we work with. And so many of my book recommendations have come from our young people where they're like, I'm reading this. And so many of them really related to Isaac, or like took book recommendations from Isaac of like, oh, I saw Isaac reading this, I'm going to go read this. The one that I took was I went and read Gender Explorer.
Yeah, that caught my eye too. What's it like?
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. But I'd seen it obviously in the show and thought I'll go and have an explore. So I really like that there's
very
that
good
relatability, and that like they also feel very authentically like young people.
Yeah, definitely. Alice has done a great job on how she's written all the characters. It comes across in all of her works, like even in This Winter and the other books that she's written that include some of the characters. It is just lovely to watch. It's lovely to watch and to read.
Yeah.
It's lovely to do both. I've started to read Radio Silence, but I can't claim to have read any of his other books. Sadly. I hope Isaac gets like a really good substantial story arc in season 2. I think he really deserves it.
think there is. I think from a few of the stills and the interviews, one of the, I think Isaac was, Toby was doing an interview and said, like, what was your hope for season two or what's going on? And they'd said that Isaac goes through a little bit of drama in the next season. There's like a storyline.
Yeah,
for Isaac,
that's right.
Which I'm really excited for. There's a scene in, it was a still that was released from one of them. And it's Isaac in what I presume is Shakespeare and Company, which is a favorite, famous yes. Parisian bookshop.
Yeah.
And
he's
in the
so
same
happy.
Way that, like, you have, you know, Nick and Charlie have heart eyes for each other. Isaac's got heart eyes for these books. And you can just yeah. see, like, the pure joy that exists with Isaac. But what's also really nice is so many like ace folk and asexual people have really related to Isaac and
definitely
that kind of experience. I wonder whether there'll be a similar journey because there is for Aled, who's the character that Isaac is initially based off.
Yeah.
We see kind of an asexual journey through Radio Silence. So I wonder whether Isaac will go through a similar
Ooh.
Journey. It's very exciting.
I cannot wait to find out. That has been rumored, and I think Alice confirmed that that might be part of it in a tweet that she wrote. He's also been pictured with James, the new character,
yeah.
James, and they both look really animated. And then there was the other moment in the teaser that they put out on Tudum Day or Tudum Day or whatever yeah. it's called, and Isaac is crying. It looks so sad. It's like, oh my goodness, what's going on?
I don't
happen?
Think I'm like prepared to watch Isaac go through any. Like, I just feel like of all the characters, he's the one I want to protect.
Oh, 100%.
So I don't think I can. I'm also looking forward to another book list because I've seen there's quite a lot of people did
yes.
like the challenges of like reading every book that Isaac read. Not a challenge that I have ventured. I have only really read Radio Silence and then. I've actually read a few of them, Good Girls Guide to Murder and Pride and Prejudice, but that's pretty much
yes.
it. But Gender Explorers was the one that I saw Isaac reading and thought, I'm going to go and check that out. So I'm looking forward to some book recommendations coming out of season
yeah,
two as well.
For sure, for sure. So yeah, keep an eye out for what Isaac's reading. Can't wait to see what season two has ahead for him. It'll be really exciting. Anyway, on to our next Easter egg. This is one of my favourites too. I think that I love how Heartstopper adds in these little tiny details that just make the show such a rich viewing experience whenever you pick up that things are happening. And the pride orbs that randomly appear in different moments are just lovely. They pop up everywhere as lens flares. Sometimes they're really bright, sometimes they're a bit faded. And let's have a listen to this moment with pride orbs.
You know Tara Jones is going to be there?
Mate, she is fit.
And Nick is going to have his pick of two girls.
Who's the other girl?
Imogen, obviously. Everybody knows she fancies him.
Yeah, what?
Nothing. We're talking about Tara Jones. Apparently she's going to be at Harry's party.
What about her?
She thought you might be interested, mate.
Didn't you have some childhood romance thing with her?
We don't have a thing. We just kissed at a party one time.
Yeah, that was like 3 years ago. Nick's got a thing with Imogen now,
anyway. No, I don't.
He has two proper fit girls trying to get with him, and he's not even bothered.
You're not into Imogen, then? Saturday night's your chance with Tara. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Maybe.
I picked that moment because it's like one of the more obscure Pride Orb moments. When the rugby lads tease him, he ends the conversation by saying, yeah, maybe, and the camera kind of pans over to Charlie. And you see that Charlie's a bit awkward, a bit upset by what's been said. And there's this little lens flare that's like a faded pride orb, like they've both been robbed of a little bit of their queerness.
Yeah, that is one of the kind of the most subtle Easter eggs that I like that it kind of appears. But I think this one's a really key moment because you see that like sports bantery vibe
yes.
that like was the very much the thing that Charlie was worried about and apprehensive about with joining the sports team. And it's kind of, it's an experience we see a lot with queer young people is that like almost disconnect from wanting to engage with sport at school, whether that's because they're trans young people or because
yeah.
they're afraid of like locker room culture and that type of thing. So I think it's really important that the show put that in there to see like the conversations and also for Nick, how almost it's a worry that if he does like Charlie that he won't get the same kind of bantery conversations that he has with his mates because
yeah.
you know they talk about girls being proper fit and things like that that I think it's really key that you see this like almost like little orb of pride and that kind of reminder of their engagement together and things.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And those kind of conversations, as somebody who's maybe a closeted teen, are quite hard because not only are you kind of concealing your queerness, but you have to deny it. And to deny your queerness verbally can be quite painful and quite damaging, you know, to do that kind of thing repetitively.
Yeah, which I like the way that kind of Nick doesn't actively outright deny it. He kind of goes, yeah,
that's right.
Maybe. He almost dodges the question because he knows that Charlie is listening and he doesn't want to say like, oh yeah, definitely, I'm really like looking forward to seeing her. But also doesn't want to entirely shoot it down because of that friendship thing. It's such a kind of, it puts him in a really awkward situation because he knows that Charlie is there and listening, and he's just starting to have these potential feelings.
Definitely. And they're both pained by it. You can tell by the expressions on Nick's face and on Charlie's face that it's, you know, it hurts both of them a little bit. Other great Pride Orb moments are when Nick and Charlie say hello for the first time, of course, and when Charlie arrives at Nick's house for their snow date. It's really cute. And then there's also one when they kiss for the first time, and a little green orb, which is the colours blue and yellow combined, when they're in Charlie's bedroom and kiss for the second time. So there are loads of them. They're peppered all over the show. So have a rewatch and take a look. Should we talk about our next bit?
Yeah.
So the next bit is the art room's window decor. The art room is like my favorite set of the whole show.
It's so pretty.
I love it. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And it's Charlie's space safe atrium. Mr. Ajay's art room is where he often goes to retreat. It's where he feels safe. He goes there whenever he's not feeling great, but also it's used for some of the show's really comforting and joyful moments too, like whenever Nick and Charlie go after they kiss and they have that little moment at lunchtime. And then again, whenever Elle and Tao are exploring the school on sports day and Tao realizes that he feels more for Elle than friendship. As the show progresses from episode 1 to episode 8, the art room's decorations change and grow as the seasons change and as the characters change and grow too. So one example is the number of leaves on the tree. So as the tree grows, the hand-shaped leaves kind of expand into the window and across the walls, blue and yellow handprints, followed by like rainbow handprints and all that kind of stuff. We also have the window itself change from like an underwater scene that depicts sea life and then becoming this really vibrant, almost tropical rainforest scene with like frogs and tropical plants and things like that. I really love it. Should we have a listen?
Yeah.
Mr. Ajay?
Charlie, there aren't any sports day events going on in the art block. You better not be about to ask me if you can stay in here all afternoon.
You've been coming in here for lunch a lot recently. Are you having a repeat of last year? Isolating yourself, not talking to anyone?
No.
Right, I'm not going to make you go because I'm a nice teacher. And when I was at school, I thought that hiding from it all was safer, easier. But sometimes the loneliness was just as bad. Don't let anyone make you disappear, Charlie. Hmm?
I can't listen to that or watch it without like getting a lump in my throat. It's such a nice moment. It's so
I think that's one of my favorite quotes as well, is don't let anyone make you disappear, Charlie. And I think that's, it's such an important quote from Mr. Ajay as well.
Definitely, and so relevant at a time when queer teachers all over America and potentially in the UK too, if certain politicians get their way, will be made to disappear. It's horrendous what happens in some places.
I think that's one of the things that shows, like, you know, for Charlie and for queer young people at school, the importance of having that safe space or that go-to teacher. I think it's a kind of a universal queer experience, particularly of having that like that one space that you can go. Mine was the drama room or the music room that were often in the same space, like having that place where you can go. It's usually creative, and it's, you know, shows the importance of having that teacher, whether that teacher is LGBT plus themselves or is a vocal ally. And there's so many great things that Mr. Ajay does, from having like the rainbow pin on his jacket, so it visibly shows that his queerness, you know, teachers that wear rainbow allies or have, you know, you are safe here pride flags in their classrooms, you know, for young people, having those spaces where they can kind of escape the noise and go to. It's one of the things that when we were kind of putting together the Proud Place, so much of our young people's feedback was creating this as a space where they could feel homely and cozy and chill. And that's very much the vibes I get from the art room, is that like the young people's artwork is everywhere and is all over the space, because it's their space and they have ownership of it, which is kind of what we also try and do at the Proud Place. So much of our young people's designs is on the wall, because like we want to put them at the heart of everything we do, and their artwork is everywhere, which is always so nice to walk into as well.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so nice. I love that you said that. It kind of reminds me too of during the our show on Moments Under Trees, we were talking about Mr. Ajay's tree, this tree that he's created in the corner of his room, and how it's actually the other young men at Truim who are helping to decorate that tree with their handprints, their yellow and blue handprints. You know, it's just a really lovely idea, and that really lovely notion of being surrounded by their creations. Do you have a favourite piece of artwork from Mr. Ajay's art room?
Oh, if I say Tao's masterpiece, is that one of them? Tao's epic landscape that definitely has people in it.
Yes, I love it. So cute. That's such a cute picture. I love it. Really good.
I always wonder as well with the kind of as the tree grows, whether it links to the fact that the badges on the
the Blazers, that's right.
Obviously they have a tree on it as well. And they also change and grow as the characters grow.
They do, that's it.
I love it as a recurring theme that it shows the growth. And I think hopefully there's a lot of growth that happens in the next few books that will happen in season two. So I'll be interested to see how that theme carries on and if we see more of the art room.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait. I think mine has to be the bisexual octopus, like in the sea scene. There's like a bisexual octopus, which I love. It's so cool. And then in episode 8, really great moment with Elle and Tao. You see this beautiful big butterfly by the door. I just think it's really lovely. Just a really nice piece. So yeah, Mr. Ajay's art room. We're not going to see it as much in season 2 because they're going to be in Paris for quite a few of the episodes. But look out for the changing artwork in Mr. Ajay's art room. Did we talk about the paper mache heads? That's the other thing that's in there. Did you pick up on the paper mache heads?
Not the first time watching it. And then I think I saw on Twitter or something, someone had mentioned about them. So then specifically was looking out for them the second time I watched it.
Yeah, that was the same as me. It's such another one of those cute little details that they've got these, that they're built into the background. It's such a rich viewing experience for us. So yeah, Mr. Shay's art room. Should we move on to our next bit?
Yeah, let's.
So the next bit is Charlie's sister, older sister magic with Tori. I love Tori so much. She's like up there in my top 5 characters for sure.
Me too. I think she might even be in my top 3 characters, honestly.
I love
Tori. I think it's one of the things I really enjoyed. Like I went and read Solitaire, but they've announced that they're doing an audiobook of Solitaire with the actress that plays Tori, like narrating the story, which I was like...
Shut the front door. I can't wait for that. That's so
excited
good.
About that, because I love her as an actress. I think she is, everyone is so well cast, but she in particular is just, she is the character of Tori. I was rereading the
fantastic.
comments, and she is such a fantastic sister to Charlie. We see it through, you know, she spots the potential signs of Charlie going back into that darker place and instantly kind of is a big sister, but very much in the way that he needs it. She's not overly loving, so you kind of, you know, when there's affection there from her, it's really needed, because she doesn't give out affection lightly.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you said that, because it is that really great kind of brother-sister relationship where you can tell that there's so much love there, but there's just a little bit of friction and that sarcasm and everything else. You know, it's really good. It's really good. Let's have a listen.
Going somewhere?
Jesus, Tori.
What? How did you just appear out of nowhere?
Older sister magic. Where are you going?
Nick's invited me around to the cinema with his friends.
Oh, okay.
What?
No, nothing. Glad Nick's such a nice friend.
Well, yeah, he is. But, actually, me and Nick, we're kind of going out.
Called it.
You can't tell anyone, though. He's not even up to his mum.
I know. So is he your boyfriend?
We're not ready to label it yet. We're just You know.
You know.
Shut up.
Well done, though. Your crush on him was super embarrassing.
Go away.
Such a nice moment. I love it between Tori and Charlie. She knows exactly what's going on between him and Nick. She has for ages.
Yeah, and she's such a supportive sister in the sense that, like, she takes the mickey out of him, but also kind of acknowledges, like, this is something that you should really be proud of and not, like, feel the need to hide away.
Definitely.
Yeah, and she's such a funny character, but also has this real kind of sharp wit to her as well.
Yeah.
She's fab.
It makes her so special that her sense of humor and how dry she is and everything else, you know, it's really, really good. And here, how much she cares for Charlie really comes across. Like, she can identify immediately that this is kind of a high risk situation that he's going into with Nick and his friends. And, you know, she offers him that little piece of advice, you know, almost like expressing concern without expressing concern. You know, it's really nice. It's lovely to see that Tori and Charlie do have such a great relationship, but queer people don't always have great relationships with their siblings. They can have quite a negative impact too. Like, in season two, Charlie's relationship with Tori is going to be juxtaposed with Nick's relationship with his older brother. Can't remember his older brother's name.
David? I think it's David.
You're so good at this. It is David. You're right. It is David. Yeah. I love how they often juxtapose Nick and Charlie's experiences, like their journeys. It'll be interesting to see this story arc with Nick and his older brother.
Yeah. There's a scene that is in the comics that I really hope makes it into season two, where Tori kind of almost comes head to head with Nick's brother. And we see a real juxtapose, and it's one of the funniest moments in the comics where, I won't spoil it, but Tori takes no prisoners, and that is included with Nick's brother. And you really do see the kind of contrast of them, and I enjoy that, like, it's not one dimensional where, like, Charlie has a super supportive family and Nick doesn't. They both have support systems just in different ways. And I think that's really reflective of the different types of support systems that queer young people can have.
Oh, definitely. I love that you said that. That's so true. That's so true. Just because your big brother's an asshole doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. You know, you've got your chosen family and everything else as well. And what kind of support does the Proud Trust offer to young people and their families in particular?
Yeah, so we offer a kind of a range of different support systems. We have a parents group where some parents will come along and get support from other parents and kind of have that shared support. Our Proud Connections live chat is also available there for parents, family members, siblings. It's not just a service for LGBT plus young people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people can go on and say, like, my child's come out as this and I'm looking for how best to support them. Or, you know, in a similar situation of Tori, of like, my sibling has come out as this and I would like to know how I can support them as well. Proud Connections live chat is there for anyone who needs it, who just has a question that they want to ask or just wants to chat some things through. But we also offer support kind of when we go to prides, we chat to so many parents or some of our young people will say, like, oh, I'm here with my sister or I'm here with my family member. And so we offer support kind of in a range of different ways because, you know, coming out is very much a process for LGBT plus young people, but it's also a journey for their adults and the people in their lives as well. They have the opportunity to grow and learn alongside the young people. And so we want to kind of be there to support the young people as well as the adults in their lives.
Oh, for sure. And it's so important. I love that that's part of the services that you offer because, you know, as you said, families often go on this journey too, and that must be quite isolating for them. Like, for the queer person who maybe already has connections into something like the Proud Trust or queer youth groups or whatever. But for family members, they often feel a bit outside of it all, but they're not. They can be as much of a part of the community, you know, as they want to. The community's here for them too. They're part of the community now, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always a really lovely thing when we, you know, we go to quite a lot of prides and, you know, seeing the young people have gone on journeys where they now are coming to prides, and a lot of them will come to prides with their families, and having seen the kind of the culminative end of that journey is always really rewarding as well, because I think a lot of the times we do perceive kind of the process of coming out just as a process for the LGBT plus person.
Yeah.
But actually it's the allies in their lives that are equally part of that journey and equally important as well.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Thank goodness organizations like yours exist, Molly. Swear to God. Should we move on to our next bit? So the next bit is one of my favorites too. So it's the queer color or the queer lighting that we often see and the queer color palettes that a lot of the sets are dressed with. The Heartstopper universe is like this huge celebration of queer joy, and it always comes across through whether it's LGBT flags or the colors that are used in LGBT flags depicted in different places. Let's have a listen to one of the moments in Elle's school in Higgs.
Ladies, come on. We've got to 15 minutes to practice talking about friends and family. Everyone gets into pairs.
Can we be a group of three?
Oh my God, yes, please. Darcy's pronunciation is horrendous.
Je suis très bien français.
Si.
Okay.
Darcy, vous avez un petit ami?
Oui, j'ai un petit ami. I think saying un makes it feminine, so you'd be saying you have a girlfriend.
What?
Oh, your turn.
Okay. Tara, vous avez un petit ami?
Non, je n'ai pas un petit ami.
What? It's true.
I know.
All right, let's move away from the boyfriend questions.
Elle, vous avez des frères et des sœurs?
I just love it when Elle finds Tara and Darcy and they befriend each other, and she finds that community that she's wanted since joining Higgs. You know, she had a really difficult story arc at the start.
Yeah, I think what is kind of really lovely about Elle's story arc is that her story isn't that she's the trans new person at school. She's just the new girl, and she goes through the trials and tribulations that anyone who's the new girl at school is. And I love that they don't lean into kind of the slightly more nuanced conversations that could come with being a trans girl in an all-girls school and that type of thing. Elle she's just a new girl at school who wants to find her place. And I think that the show does such a gorgeous way of doing it. And she has this kind of kinship with Tara and Darcy before she knows that they are queer and that they are also kind of part of the same community. She just gets on with them really well initially.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so true. I love it. It's really good. In the form room that Elle joins, we see really great colors from the lesbian pride flag and the transgender pride flag. And yeah, so things like the floor and the cupboards of the form room are the different shades of pinks and purple. In the French classroom, we get the blue and white and pink of the trans pride flag and everything else. We see the colors all over the place. It's really, really nice. And then, of course, in the Higgs lunchroom, we also get the pansexual pride flag in stripes across the table, which is a really lovely touch too.
Yeah, I think it's such a nice, like, visual representation of queerness in the show as well. It also makes the screen just look beautiful in having all this pop of color and this joy, which really kind of supports the general joyous feelings of the show as well.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we see it so often through loads of different ways, whether it's lighting or the colors that they're wearing, or we, you know, see it in the background and that type of thing. These kind of the many, many different colors and shades that make up the various queer flags are all kind of woven throughout this story of like all the different LGBT plus representation.
It's just lovely. Other really great moments are at Harry's party, where we see the bisexual pride colors that flood the dance floor. We see the blue and yellow strobes, that iconic kiss between Tara and Darcy with the pride animation and the confetti and everything else.
That's one of my favorite moments in the show as well. I think especially because it cuts from Nick's kind of, you have that kind of big kiss and all this rainbow, and then we see Nick's kind of bi lighting as well.
Yes, that's right.
And he always has this look of like, yeah, no, I want that. And then he goes off to find Charlie and gets that.
But
they then use like the bi lighting to kind of, you almost, it's like the aha moment for Nick, and that is shown through the lighting, which I think is really cool.
Definitely. It cuts to him at that stage, like as the confetti falls, the camera cuts to him and he just looks so content and so happy. And it's a really nice moment. I was rewatching, embarrassingly. God, it's embarrassing how often I've rewatched Heartstopper.
It's not embarrassing. I've not rewatched in a while, actually. And I think like listening through all the audios, I'm like, I'm due a rewatch. Maybe I'll rewatch just before season 2 comes out.
Yeah, so I watched the first 3 episodes last night with a friend and we chatted about, you know, how great it was that the first coming out moment in the show was Tara and Darcy coming out to Nick, and then the first queer kiss in the show is a lesbian kiss. I just love that kind of representation was put right up front and center. Like, it's really, really, really great.
Definitely. I think especially, you know, we've seen a lot of shows in the last kind of few years that have lesbian representation have been cancelled or have, you know, Netflix hasn't continued them. And there's a real trend of it being like sapphic shows and shows with lesbian representation. So I really enjoy that this show not only doesn't shy away from that, but they actively use the word lesbian. They, you know, have this big pride rainbow confetti kiss between two of the lesbians that are on the show. It really doesn't shy away. And I think for young people that either are lesbians or are questioning whether or not they're lesbians as well, to have their kind of identity celebrated and show that it's really something to be proud of is one of my favorite things that the show does so well.
Definitely. And what a celebration when Tara and Darcy kiss. Like, it's huge. Like, it's just such a huge iconic moment. It's just beautiful. Other really great moments for queer lighting are times like the bowling alley at Charlie's birthday party, which is totally flooded with the colors of the bisexual pride flag. And then we get the LGBT color flag in a lot of the machines that they play on and things like that. And then, of course, there's other really iconic moments like the Milkshake Cafe, where the trans pride flag color features quite heavily, and also the pansexual pride colors. Again, there's just so much of it. You couldn't possibly talk about all the different moments because there's just so much of it.
And that's something I'm really hoping will kind of continue through into season 2 with them being in Paris and the kind of summer vibes that we're going to see in season 2. I hope that the themes of the different pride flags continues throughout.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be so colourful. Paris will never have been so colourful. Should we talk about our next bit?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's another one of my personal favourites. They're all my personal favourites. That's how they made the list. So lovebirds and seagulls and the little flying birds and parakeets and things like that are another real favourite of mine because they pop up at these little moments and they just add so much gooiness. Like, it always just makes my heart go so gooey. It's really good. So yeah, London's famous parakeets, lovebirds and seagulls, delight fans. They pop up often in unexpected places. The first time we see seagulls is in episode 1 when, after Nick has saved Charlie from Ben on his way home with his mum, he gets a text from Charlie that ends with an X, it ends with a kiss, and he gets his big smile on his face and seagulls kind of drift across the screen. It's just so sweet.
It is, and I love that there's that kind of almost the theme of birds runs throughout, and this idea of kind of freedom and flying and, you know, the idea of no longer being a bird in a cage but a bird that can fly, and the kind
I love that
symbolism of that as an act of coming out, which I think is really sweet.
Oh, definitely. I hadn't thought of that freedom of being set free. It's just so nice. Yes, I love it. I love it. The moment that I've picked for this one is slightly different. It's more about the love between friends rather than love in a romantic way. Let's have a listen.
So, how was your date?
We decided we were better as friends.
All right, what did Nick do?
Nothing. I just think I can do better.
You're proper thick about girls sometimes, aren't you, mate?
I just love Imogen so much. She's so good. She's such a good character.
Me too. I think she's a character that I am. She might be the character that I'm the most excited to see her story from season 1. Yeah. I think, you know, the arc that she's gone through in season 1 is kind of that she's very much was part of the very much the popular kid, and she's obviously learns and goes through a lot of growth with Nick. There's a really nice Imogen moment right at the end where the camera cuts to her after she like sees Nick and Charlie run away. And that I love the like this empowerment moment from her. Like, she very easily could have been like, oh well, like Nick didn't want to like date me, and so like that's fine, but I'll get over it. Like, she makes the moment about herself in the sense of like, oh, I just think I can do better. Like,
oh, I just love it so much.
She doesn't take the moment away from Nick. She doesn't like make it about him. She just deflects. That's and it. Kind of, it's one of my favorite moments. So I'm so excited to see more from her.
Absolutely. And to have come away, like, it's not easy finding out that your crush isn't interested on you. You know, it's so heartbreaking, especially at that age.
It's so life and death at 15 in the sense of like,
definitely.
You know, you've really, especially with Imogen, we've seen her kind of, everyone else has kind of almost fed into her that Nick likes her, which obviously doesn't help the situation. Whereas, you know, if you think of, if everyone, all of the people that you believe are your friends are going, oh no, he definitely likes you. He like really likes you.
Yeah.
But then him to not like you, it is a really, especially after what she's been through with her dog, like she's been through it.
That's so funny. I know. Poor Imogen. Yeah. So even though she's had her heart broken a little bit, she still is next to Nick and they're still great friends. You can tell that there's a real solid friendship bond there. And yeah, she just takes the attention away from him, which she didn't have to do. It's a lovely, lovely moment. And up above them in the tree, there are two really nice little animated parakeets. London's famous lovebirds have a little tweet and then they fly off together. So yeah, it's just a really lovely moment. The birds aren't always animated in Heartstopper in episode 8 when Tao and Elle find themselves in Mr. J's art room. They lie on a table and they're surrounded by cutouts of lovebirds, which is really lovely. And in that moment, it's when Tao realizes that he has deeper feelings for Elle. And then later in the same episode with Nick and Charlie, they take the tree in on their date, and above them, there are two parakeets flying through the sky. And opposite them is Alice herself having a little sketch in her iPad.
I love those little like cameos that we kind of see. I'm hoping there will be a second Alice cameo in
season two. Yeah, at least one. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, keep an eye out for the lovebirds and the other little kind of flying set free, as Molly said. You know, these little birds that are set free. It's a really lovely little Easter egg and it adds so much joy. They add so much joy.
Yeah.
And then the last one, last but not least, are, of course, how could we not mention all of the butterflies and leaves and music notes that often surround the characters in these really intense, heartfelt moments as they fall in love with each other. The most iconic animation of them all, probably.
Yeah. I love all the little animation kind of additions, and I think it really adds to like the story, but also the show and kind of the themes of, obviously it was a show that came from a comic and it came from a drawing.
Yes, and I
like that they kind of kept that, and the fact that they like actively sought out an animator to like involve someone who was passionate about animation in the show. I think it really adds to the story as well.
Oh, it's huge. It's such a lovely hook that they catch viewers with to really draw us into those feelings of falling in love and that excitement that comes with that. You know, you actually feel it with the characters. It's really, really, really nice. And one of the things that I love about it is that the shapes are all so unique and to do with the character that's kind of experiencing that moment. You know, like when Charlie looks at Nick, he sees leaves drift across the screen. When Nick's falling for Charlie in episode 2, you can see the sparks start to fly in their hands. You know, it's just so unique to them. Let's have a listen.
Did you kiss someone? It wasn't a girl.
I don't know.
Would you kiss me?
Such an iconic moment, my goodness.
It's so cute. It's those like heartstopper moments that they all appear. It's so sweet.
I just love it. So much tension. It's such a bittersweet moment between Nick and Charlie when they kiss for the first time. You know, it really is. All those little animations add so much, and they're so personal to the characters. Like whenever Elle starts to realize that she feels something for Tao, she sees like the pixelated stars from the animated video game almost. And then in episode 8, when Tao starts to realize he feels romantically for Elle, he sees butterflies. You know, it's just really cute.
Yeah, they're really, really sweet. And I think especially kind of the one that I always first think of is the sparks when just before Nick and Charlie are about to kiss. And it's that, again, that very kind of teenage of like, they don't go straight into it. They both very tentatively kind of will test the waters, and you start to see this like electrostatic kind of around them. And it's almost that kind of, you feel the visual representation of the tension and that electric spark between the two of them. I think it really adds, and I like that each character's almost got their own motif.
Elle
has, Elle's carries all the way through to like, she talks about her pencil case and she's drawn butterflies on her pencil case.
Oh my goodness. Through. Yes. I love
and obviously with Elle being an artist and art being a constant theme, and very much Elle's art is a real kind of bringer together for Elle and Tao as well. You know, definitely. Tao gets so attached to the piece of art that Elle drew for him, and is obviously really sad when Harry ruins it, and that theme throughout.
That's right.
That then when you see these butterflies, I hope that one of the things I love is that in season 2 they go to an art gallery, and I'm hoping that that will bring some more sparks for Elle and Tao. Maybe.
Oh, I hope so.
I'm so excited, and that's one thing that I hope continues through, because it makes the show so unique, of those little animated moments.
It's just lovely. And between Tara and Darcy, you see music notes and, you know, those kind of musical symbols and everything else. It adds so much. And again, it just makes this viewing experience so rich and so full of detail and just so lovely. The only character that we haven't seen this for is Isaac. Like, what is Isaac's little animation going to be?
Yeah, I hope that we get like heart eyes or something for Isaac in his books in the future seasons, or some that's Isaac's one true connection is him and his books. But I'm hoping that we see something either for Isaac, or maybe that there's a very intentional point to the fact that Isaac hasn't had that spark yet, and that is maybe there's a reason the fact that we haven't seen it with Isaac yet. Only time will tell. Thankfully we've not got too much longer to wait.
I know, it's hard to, I can't believe it's so close now. We've waited so long. That's us. That's the end of our like Easter egg list. We've covered our top, 7 or 8 Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And it's been so good. I've loved it. What would you think? Like, what do you think has been the most impactful thing to come out of Heartstopper for the young people that you work with?
I think we had some really nice quotes from some of our young people, that when we were kind of asked them about Heartstopper, so many of them have said it's that visual representation. And then being able to kind of see themselves represented in the show. One of the quotes that we had from one of our young people was, they said that, I think Heartstopper is really important because it shows young people that being LGBT plus isn't always as it seems, and you can get through it with the right people supporting you. Heartstopper represents me, and there's not a lot of TV shows that do that. Which was a really lovely quote from one of our young people about how kind of important that show is. And I'm so glad that we get at least 2 more seasons out of it, and more books and more media, to kind of be able to really see the journey that these young people are going on, kind of up to the point where they go off to uni and become young adults.
So lovely. Thanks for sharing that quote from your young person. That's so special. I didn't expect that. It's really nice.
It's no problem.
Really nice. What are you looking forward to most about season 2?
I think the kind of the new characters that we're getting, there's a lot of new people that are in the comics, like Sahara, and we see more of James and that type of thing. But also new characters. We've got some new trans young people that are going to be in the new show, some trans friends for Elle, which I'm really excited about to see. Elle obviously has the experience of having queer friends in her friend group, but we've not really seen her around fellow trans people. And I'm really looking forward to having more trans representation on screen, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that'll be great.
A and just to see like the characters that we already do know's stories develop.
Yeah.
I'm also really looking forward to seeing them in Paris.
Oh, I can't wait for
and
that.
And how they kind of, Paris is obviously such a romantic city and such a visually stunning city. That I'm really excited to see these young people just go on a school trip.
It feels so nostalgic, doesn't it? Going on school trips and stuff like that. It's great.
Yeah, my first school trip was to Paris as well. So I'm very excited to kind of see them go through that and do all those kind of sightseeing. It's some of my favourite moments in the books.
Oh, that's great.
And to also see that juxtaposed with the kind of slightly more hard-hitting story that is going to come through in the future season. It's the plot that we see is not quite as joyous, but I like that there's still those real moments of joy, and to show kind of being LGBT plus might not always be easy, but like the quote from my young person said, is having the right support system around you can really make a difference.
Oh, it's so true, and I think that's one of the things that I'm kind of looking forward to, is how they approach the story arc around Charlie and the things that he experiences, and Nick as well with his family and his dad and his brother and stuff like that. I think that'll be really interesting to see. And then there's going to be some unexpected things that happen with Imogen and with Isaac that we don't know because they're not characters in the
books.
Yeah, so I'm so excited for those little surprises, but also how the show will approach the more challenging story arc as well.
I hope we get more iconic one-liners from Imogen as well, because I think I'm an ally is one of my most used things now whenever people say like, oh, I'm an ally.
Yeah,
So I hope we get some more like quick-witted one-liners from them as well.
For sure. And Tori too. Obviously, Tori's not going to be in Paris with them, so she'll be absent for a lot of the season. But hopefully in the bits either side, we'll get some iconic Tori moments as well.
Fingers crossed.
There's so much to look forward to. Anyway, thanks so much, Molly, for coming on the show and sharing in our proper full-on Heartstopper recap. I love this episode. I think we've done a great job. Thank you so much for being here and being with us.
No worries. I can't wait to hopefully be back and chat about season two whenever it's out.
I know, it's so exciting. So this episode's going to drop, I think. Yeah, this episode will drop, and then we'll have a week or so, or maybe 2 weeks before season two drops. And then we'll be back the week after season two drops. I'm recording an episode with Emma Arnelli, our first response to season two, which will drop the week after season two drops. And then we'll be back with a full series of 8 episodes to recap each episode and go into some of the themes in a bit more detail. So make sure, listeners, that you hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, absolutely.
And leave a 5-star review. It really helps us get discovered. Thanks so much for listening. And thanks so much again, Molly, for coming on. We wouldn't have a show without partners like you. I am really grateful. And yeah, all that's left for us to do is say goodbye.
Bye.
Today's show was produced by Shut Up World with me, Jamie Wilson, and Molly Houghton from The Proud Trust. Copywritten material within this episode is made available to provide criticism, comment, or review, and to advance the understanding of issues which impact the queer community. For more information, please see our Fair Use and Fair Dealing Statement at www.properfullongaypodcast.com.